Hello and welcome to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia, and today I'm joined by the amazing Rebecca Lewis, whose work centres on clarity, emotional awareness, and helping people navigate growth without losing themselves in the process. She works with individuals who are capable, driven, and often carrying significant responsibility, yet seeking steadiness beneath the surface. Rebecca brings a thoughtful and grounded approach to change, encouraging reflection over reaction, alignment over pressure, and intentional decision-making over autopilot patterns. Rebecca, it's such a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Rebecca, please share a little more about the work you do and what first led you into doing what you do today. I'd rather you explain it than I go into further detail.
Yes. So, I have a very unique journey into the work that I'm doing today. However, I did start out working for the government, and that gave me a certain amount of global exposure and cultural exposure to be more aware and more in tune about how I could be more impactful with the skills and the gifts that I had. So I had made a very brave decision. I decided to take my life into my own hands and took a sabbatical from my position to really focus on doing more social impact type of work. And that led me to a beautiful journey of working with a project. It was called the Inside Out Clothing Project. We worked with individuals who had come out of the justice system on a sustainable clothing line. So I was the CEO of that project, and we exposed these individuals, the participants, the designers, to how creativity can really open up the mindset and open up possibilities to entrepreneurship and things of that nature. And I am now transitioning into, you know, another passion of mine, which is working with young women in science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. So we call that STEAM. So we've launched a program. It's called, and when I say we, my charity is called Ascend Global Impact. We are working with young university students in Ghana, and we are pairing them with mentors internationally for an Ascend Innovator Global Talent STEAM Accelerator Program. We also run master classes, yes, and workshops. So, you know, very intentional about making a difference with the time that I have here.
And that's amazing. And thank you so much for sharing with such passion and detail, I would say. And it's really inspiring. And it's inspiring to hear, because what really stands out to me is the courage it takes to step away from something stable in order to follow a deeper sense of purpose. And often the most meaningful work begins when someone decides to use their experience and exposure to create opportunities for others. And what you're doing is incredible. And what you're describing shows how creativity and mentorship and access can genuinely expand what people believe is possible for their lives. So many people appear to be confident and composed externally. And I'm sure you've come across this as well in your line of work, and not only from your previous experience, but currently with what you're doing. But people often feel unsettled internally. What do you tend to notice beneath the surface?
So, yes, thank you. Thank you for asking that. I've noticed, and I continue to notice, that some of us on the surface, and this spans across many different sectors, yes, we appear to, you know, to be fit for purpose and have some of these, you know, the amazing life, or we appear to be okay. And, you know, when we get home and everything is said and done and we're alone, that the trauma sometimes that we carry with us, you know, it's still there. And you find out that what you're experiencing in certain environments is more of a facade than a reality. And the person is, you know, really struggling inside based on past experiences.
Absolutely. And that's so true. And it's true for a lot of people and literally everyone. And it's an important point, Rebecca, because so many people learn how to function well on the outside while quietly carrying unresolved experiences within them. And I'm sure in the previous role that you have had with people that were in the justice system, that was something that you often saw yourself. But it really reminds us how important it is to create spaces where people feel safe enough to be honest about what they're doing and going through, rather than feeling they have to keep up appearances or they're being judged or things like that. So what do you think is the biggest misconception people have about personal growth? I mean, what have you come across in your experience?
I would say the biggest misconception sometimes is that it's external, that people tend to navigate or weigh their personal growth based on things that are happening externally. Yeah. And really, the foundation is on, you know, really tapping into the internal to make sure that internal peace is there before it manifests out into, you know, the external. So I think, you know, really thinking that it starts on the outside, that you need to look for things to be changed or solved on the outside in order to fix, you know, what's happening inside. And a lot of times you'll find people wanting to change jobs or relocate, or, you know, just making different or change spouses, you know, making different decisions, thinking that that is going to change inside and what's happening on the inside. And I think for the most part is when you have exhausted all external possibilities and attempts to make, you know, different changes, and you realize, okay, this is not working. Something must be happening on the inside.
What you're sharing is a really thoughtful perspective, and what you're highlighting is that lasting change rarely begins with the external world. It often begins with understanding what's happening within us, and I think it's so important to mention that when people start paying attention to the inner landscape, it can completely shift how they respond to life rather than constantly trying to change their surroundings. But as you know, those surroundings and that environment can have such a huge impact. And a lot of it stems from the stress of the environment. How much of our current stress is connected to those old patterns rather than present circumstances? I mean, if you don't mind, if you can share from your own personal experience or even someone you've worked with who's just come out of the justice system, how have those old patterns really presented themselves?
Well, I think, you know, to your point, the environment can sometimes shape the individual. So if you're growing up in, you know, an environment that causes you to have to struggle and to fight for any gain in life. And maybe the environment doesn't cause you to have to do that, but that atmosphere has already been charged up for generations to give you that perception that in order to make it, you have to do these things. So there's a certain disposition that hardens you, you know, for the most part, because it's survival of the fittest. You know, and this is, you know, pertaining to individuals sometimes growing up in economically challenged situations that sometimes in, you know, more violent prone areas, you know, in order for you to survive those areas, sometimes you do, you know, shape yourself to be a part of that environment. And it's not easy to transition out of that without guidance, exposure, and self-help.
Yes.
And confidence.
Absolutely. It's a really important question we've got to ask ourselves as well, that how are we being impacted without that guidance or exposure and the opportunity to build? Because many people can remain limited by their circumstances that they grew up in. And it shows just how powerful mentorship and support and new perspectives can be in helping someone realize that their future doesn't have to be defined by their starting point. And I think that's really important. Now, Rebecca, in your experience, why is self-awareness often uncomfortable before it becomes empowering? Because we all have that starting point, but that shouldn't define us, really.
So I think, you know, sometimes when we realize that we have more control than we thought, we also realize that some of the issues are self-inflicted. And I think when that realization comes to pass, it's shocking and, you know, traumatic at the same time, until you're able to really lean into the power of, you know, what self-awareness can bring. And that knowing, you know, your limits and knowing where you need to grow, all of those things allows you to become the best, you know, form of yourself that you were preordained and created to be. But that starting point, you start to see all the flaws and you start to see all the mess that could have been messages, you know? So yeah, I think, you know, the fear of how much control we really have to reshape some of the inner trauma that we have, and that will literally change the trajectory of our lives. And you start to realize that a lot of these limitations are self-imposed.
Absolutely. And thank you for sharing that, because you put that so beautifully and eloquently. Thank you so far for your valuable insights, Rebecca. We're going to take a short commercial break with a word from our sponsors. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Belinda Walia, and today I'm in conversation with the fabulous Rebecca Lewis. Welcome back, Rebecca.
Thank you. Good to be back.
How do you help people distinguish between healthy ambition and operating from pressure?
So thank you. Thank you for reminding me of a conversation we had earlier today with one of our young ladies that's a part of the Ascend Innovators mentorship program, acceleration program. These young ladies that are future leaders in the STEAM world, and they're, you know, extremely bright, they're in university. However, the pressure, you know, that's there from their parents when they're, you know, coming from what some might consider to be humble beginning, some of them living in the rural communities in Ghana, and the pressure to, you know, excel, for example, as an engineer, and, you know, be the person that excels to help the family, transition into a better lifestyle. It's a reality of what a lot of, you know, these, in this case, these young ladies have to experience. So what we do is, as a part of Ascend Global Impact, the charity that I founded, we find a balance of really encouraging these young women to not necessarily follow someone else's dream or path, but to be intentional about knowing their divine makeup in order for them to make sure that they are serving in the best way that God has created them to serve. That is using the skills that they are able to, obtain from their schoolings, but really exposing them to different avenues of, you know, finding out a way to bring it all together where they can bring their personal aspirations and desires and gifts and talents into the engineering field. So combining, you know, creativity with engineering and what that might look like, whether that is working, you know, on a film set as a digital engineering director, for an example. So, and this is why we bring in the arts into the STEM field, because we like to create exposure. So they don't have to navigate careers and 20 years later find out, you know, we need to pivot because really I was chasing someone else's dreams and not mine. So I would say that's a good example. We try to, you know, create pathways, exposures, and avenues for individuals really to live out their dreams.
And that's amazing. It's incredibly meaningful work when young people grow up carrying the expectations of family and community. The pressure to succeed can be immense, and sometimes their own voice gets lost in that process. And what you're doing by giving them exposure, that mentorship, and space to understand their own strengths is so powerful, because it helps them build a future that feels authentic. But as you said, sometimes commitments and not having opportunity does come into play, doesn't it? What role does emotional regulation play in clear decision making, would you say?
Yeah, so I would say it definitely plays a major role. You know, we teach our girls, and when I say our girls, our young ladies, that's a part of the program, that is very important for you to be centered and at peace when making any type of major decision. You never want to make a decision when you are feeling emotionally out of alignment, because you are not clear. So in order for you to make a clear decision, then you need to have that level of clarity and peace internally, you know, for things to go the right way, without you having to now go and take corrective action. So, you know, one of the models that we have is, you know, always try to make a decision, when your mind is clear. So if you are feeling a little frustrated or any type of, emotional Discord, then, you know, just take a breather, take a time out before you send that, you know, email or text message or make any firm decision. Never make a decision when you are just feeling not, you know, at peace.
And to be more responsive rather than reactive, which is clear to see, and that's what you're encouraging. And it's very wise guidance, because when people learn to pause and reconnect with the sense of inner clarity before making decisions, it often prevents so many reactive choices that we regret later. As human beings, this is what we do, isn't it? A reactive response. And teaching young people to recognize their emotional state and respond from a place of calm rather than pressure is an incredibly valuable life skill. So why do you think so many people struggle to trust themselves to make those decisions?
Well, I think, you know, some of this is a form of patterns and, you know, muscle memory. So if we haven't formed a pattern of being able to trust ourselves, and it could be, you know, the way you were raised and, you know, the lack of confidence. So if that muscle hasn't been developed, then it's going to be harder, you know, for you to have that inner confidence and that trust within yourself to make certain decisions. You're always second guessing yourself. However, I will say, when that awareness is there, this is why the self-awareness is important, and you're able to, you know, understand and discern that this is something you need to work on. When you start hearing that doubt, those voices, you can start now countering them by saying, no, I don't know who's saying that, but I can do it, you know. And with that repetition, you start to change that pattern, and that change in pattern will now start giving you a new form of, you know, hope and vision, and then you take action, and, you know, and now you're on a different trajectory.
Absolutely. And again, very wise guidance there. So thank you, Rebecca, for that, because I think a lot of our listeners will really take what resonates there, and it's empowering, I think. It's a very powerful way to describing what you're saying. So much of our confidence is built through the patterns we practice over time. And when people begin to challenge those inner doubts, they start creating a completely different internal dialogue. And I think that internal dialogue is very important to mention. And often that shift from second guessing to trusting oneself is what opens the door to a very different path forward for many people. But some people that you and I have come across, and I'm sure many people have come across, when someone feels they're trying, they keep on trying, and they feel that they're stuck despite doing all the right things. What is usually happening underneath? What do you think is happening?
Wow, so that's a beautiful question, and it can be answered on a deeper level, but I'll try to keep
just go deep. It's fine.
So I think, you know, a lot of the things that we face when it comes to internal battles is more of a spiritual battle. So I think the alignment spiritually, right, is very important. It's very important for you to be in tune with who you are spiritually, in order to navigate some of the chaos that life is going to bring your way. And if you struggle with the spirituality part, you will struggle with having that inner peace. So I would definitely say that, you know, finding a belief, you know, that it allows you to understand the beauty of believing in something without having to physically touch it, feel it, see it, but having a knowing that there is something greater than you. That belief in itself will then start to give you hope And then it will start allowing you to see things in a different way. So, you know, I just think that, you know, us as human beings, we are wired so differently. We're pre-programmed. Some of it is not by our doing, you know, it could be generational patterns. And some of us have to undo a lot of things, including myself. You know, I am able to have enough awareness to know when I am being, maybe allowing my ego to, you know, to give me certain suggestions, and I'm assuming and I'm creating a narrative, you know, for a situation that may not even be factual, but in my mind it's telling me this is why that happened, you know, because this happened and that happened. And then I have to step back and say, wait a second, you're doing that thing again. You don't know why it happened. Either it's a fact or it's in your head. So until you know that what's in your head is a fact, then let's just say it's not true. You know, and once I started doing that, you are just less like wired to think negative about a lot of things, because you realize most of the things that are in your head, it never really manifests to be that current situation. But sometimes you can create it to be a negative reality because you allowed that to be the thought process. So, you know, as they say, as a man thinketh.
Yes, absolutely. And again, that's a very powerful way of describing it. So thank you, Rebecca. I think it's really quite inspiring what you're sharing there. And a very thoughtful reflection when people begin to recognize the difference between what is actually happening and the stories the mind can create. It can be incredibly freeing. Mm-hmm. And often that deeper sense of spiritual grounding helps people step back from those narratives and approach life with more clarity, perspective and inner calm. And I think that's a really valuable insight. Rebecca, on reflection, with the girls on the STEAM project, the program that you're actually introducing, how important is environment, relationships, workplace culture or expectations in shaping how they show up?
It's stressed that it's very important to make sure that you are in an environment that brings you, a certain level of growth and I would say peace. If an environment becomes too toxic, then you must make a decision as to how you want to pivot. However, you also need to be able to discern how much of your personal, actions are adding to maybe any negative feeling that you have about a workplace or a work culture. So, you know, a lot of it really begins with us, you know, while they're in university now, us as a team, you know, the mentors on the program, and bringing in some mental health experts and well-being experts, just to talk about the importance, again, of self-awareness and being able to navigate, you know, yourself and, different environments. For example, one of the reasons why we do the global pairing with these young ladies is so that they can have the feeling of being in a Western, you know, organization environment through their mentors and start to see how that cultural difference, you know, may start to, you know, cause, you know, certain other feelings to come out within them and how to adjust to that, because anything different sometimes can cause a little bit of friction. So it's a matter of how we navigate that so that it doesn't become friction. It just becomes, you know, more of a smooth road because you understand the, you know, where the differences lie and how to navigate it. So yeah, we speak very, very in depth when it comes to going into working environments in different cultures and the importance of, you know, really at the end of the day, if that culture is not bringing you a certain level of peace, then you need to extract yourself from anything that is bringing you constant negativity and any toxic type of feelings. However, you know, self-awareness is the number one start, just to make sure that you're giving every environment a fair chance. And, you know, honestly, when it comes to some of these, the cultural environments, a lot of organizations now are working very, very strongly to, you know, to be, you know, culturally aware and understanding where some of their shortcomings are. It is a work in progress, but we're working it on different sides.
And that's good to hear, because the environments we place ourselves in can have a profound impact on our well-being and growth. But it also takes that awareness you speak about to recognize how we respond within those spaces, and helping young people develop that understanding early on gives them the ability to navigate different cultures and workplaces with confidence while still protecting their sense of peace, which is such an important point. So thank you, Rebecca. Thank you so far. We're going to take another short commercial break with a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage, or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia, and we're continuing this insightful conversation with Rebecca Lewis. Welcome back, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Where does that sense of peace really come from? Because a lot of people talk about this alignment. So what does alignment feel like in practical terms, day to day?
So I think when you are operating, you know, in a place where things just seem like everything's going wrong, right? And you see that, and you know that everything is, you know, not going, when I say going wrong, you know, not going according to your plan, but you're still able to navigate with a mindset to be solution oriented. I think that is, you know, the perfect example of being in alignment, because nothing in life will ever go perfectly. So, you know, those who feel like alignment is just everything going well, and, you know, that's a good day. But, you know, when it comes to being a human being and living on this earth and this planet and these bodies, there, you know, is a huge possibility that something is going to go wrong. And alignment is being able to still have peace while coming up with solutions to navigate that. Life is all about navigating. It's not, you know, what you're going through, it's how you are getting through it. And if you're able to get through things in a peaceful way, knowing that nothing lasts forever, this too shall pass and everything's okay. That is alignment.
Because that's so perfectly put, I think. It's a really meaningful way to describe it. Alignment isn't about life unfolding perfectly. It's about how we hold ourselves when things don't go to plan. And I often talk about that self-awareness and self-acceptance as well. When someone can stay grounded and solution-focused, even in uncertainty, it shows a deeper level of that acceptance as well, and that inner steadiness that allows them to move through challenges with perspective and calm. And I think it's really valuable, because when you have that self-awareness, you have that self-acceptance, you can then be more compassionate towards yourself and empathetic towards yourself as well. And
also to others, if I may.
Yes, of course, because you're learning what empathy is, you're understanding it. And when you're able to understand it, yes, you can give it, absolutely. So, but there are people that respond to life in different ways, as we've discussed, but how can someone begin responding differently without completely overhauling their life? Because sometimes they can worry too much about people pleasing or being too empathetic, for example.
Right, understood. And I think, you know, one of the things we do in our program is we have, you know, our participants create a roadmap of where they are and where they would like to go.
Oh, that's good.
So this way you have a visual, right? And it, as long as you are able to stay on course, right? Because things will try to pull you, you know, and lead you to so many different directions. But if you have that North Star, right? And your goal is to reach that North Star in the most, you know, calm, solution-oriented way, then you will be able to navigate through some of the storms that come along the way because you have a North Star. So I would say have a goal, have a point of destination, have something to achieve. When you have something to achieve, you have a goal. When you set something for yourself, you are less distracted by the things that don't matter.
Yes. Absolutely. And brilliant advice there, because this is the trap everyone falls into, isn't it? That, and it's a powerful way to frame it. When people have a clear sense of direction, it becomes much easier to stay grounded. And when distractions or challenges appear along the way, I think I like the way that you describe just follow that North Star, because not only does it provide the focus, but also helps people make decisions that stay aligned with the life they truly want to build. And that's what you're trying to teach these young women. But obviously, going back to the patterns that are there embedded in people's minds, and maybe transgenerational patterns that are in the subconscious mind, what patterns do you most often see in high capacity individuals?
I would say there is a pattern to feel like there is one way to get to success, you know. So with these young women, for the most part, there is this, and it's usually something that is passed on from their parents, that there is this path that you need to take educationally, you know, in order to be successful. If you're not an engineer, if you're not an attorney, if you're not a doctor, you know, then anything outside of that, you know, is not going to lead to success, you know. But until it does, you know, then there's a reckoning and an understanding. But I think what we are doing with the young ladies is exposing them to so many different avenues of what success and wealth is, and individuals who look like that, like them, that have taken their, you know, STEM and STEAM talents and created a way that wasn't, you know, within the box to really achieve greatness. So we are now launching a robotics lab in one of the rural areas, community schools in Ghana. So we haven't decided the school as of yet. As you can imagine, the appetite is very high. So once the school is selected, the goal is to have 50 of the robotics kits for 50 students. So they each have their own kit. We will have some of our young women that are on our Ascent Innovative STEAM Accelerator program come to help to reskill and upskill the teachers as well as the students on how to use the robotics kits. So this whole concept came from me turning 50, and I said I wanted to, you know, do something outside of receiving gifts, more legacy focused and doing something great that would be lasting. So I launched this GoFundMe page encouraging those who wanted to send me cards and flowers to just, you know, donate 50 pounds. We can really do something intentional and have a legacy moment with such an iconic, right, transitional point turning 50. So that was in February. So we are still running this campaign and we are still, you know, running it under the 50 for 50. So it's donate 50 pounds each for 50 kids. And we will launch this robotics lab in September of this year when we go to Ghana. And we're super excited about it. Again, a lot of these young individuals, it will be from the ages of 10 to 12, don't have access to, you know, robotics programming at all. So the goal is very entry level to skill the teachers up as well, so that when we leave, the teachers will be able to keep the kids and run the robotics program in their schools. And of course, we'll do several sessions there to train the teachers as well. We're starting with one school as a pilot program. And of course, this is something that is scalable. And the best hope would be that there is an organization out there that can donate the kits. I like to say, you know, individuals sometimes don't have the bandwidth to do these things themselves. So we are the engines, we're the boots on the ground, and we're ready to do the work. So if you want to do something impactful and you just don't have the space and the time, please donate the 50 pounds or even more. And we would definitely be filled with gratitude and be able to move things forward to help, you know, the younger generation really be skilled and take on a new lease on life that maybe others didn't think that they would have the opportunity to afford. So I thank you all in advance. And yes, 50 for 50 campaign is on GoFundMe, is under Ascend Global Impact.
Yeah, I think this is, it's one of the things that we definitely hone in on is exposure and, you know, making sure that individuals are able to see what they thought was, you know, the impossible is possible, and showing them real life examples of individuals that are doing, you know, what others had told them it was impossible.
Yes, and I think that's really empowering. It's something that anyone needs to hear, really, because it's empowering not just to those girls, but to those children that they give birth to, you know, in the future as well, to see that impact, that shift that you're creating when people are only shown one definition of success. It can limit how they imagine their own future, but exposure to different paths and real examples of what's possible can completely expand that vision and help the next generation believe that success doesn't have to follow just one traditional route. And if someone feels overwhelmed, because again, like we've spoken before, life gets in the way and nothing is perfect. There's going to be ups and downs. But when that overwhelm does happen and a person doesn't know why, what early signs should they pay attention to? Sometimes it sprung on us, I know, but what would you advise?
So I think, you know, when you start experiencing lots of different thoughts, you know, and they're usually, you know, what if, and this is not working, you know, there's a lot of different things that's causing you to doubt yourself or doubt what you're doing, and to speak in existence into your reality that you know you don't want. So when those thoughts come that you don't like and they don't give you a good feeling, you know, anytime you are sitting there and it's you and your thoughts that's causing you to feel this kind of way, then you need to, you know, you need to be still and you need to really analyze, why am I thinking this? Like, what is making me think this? And once you said this is the self-awareness, this is what starts now that process of you being aware of these thoughts and being able to counter them. Most of us in this world are not aware of the thoughts that we have and how much control we can eventually, through practice, awareness, you know, and intentionality, start to, you know, not stop the thoughts. Not only, you know, they will, you know, by the grace of God, they will dissipate, but you are able to counter them, because you can't stop a thought, but you can at least counter it.
Yes, and that's such a valuable point. The moment someone begins to pause and notice their thoughts rather than automatically believing them, something important starts to really shift in our mind when you have that realization. And finally, Rebecca, if listeners were to take one steady, realistic step this week towards greater clarity or balance, what would you encourage them to begin with?
Find something that brings you joy. Find a hobby, a habit that brings you joy. Something that you know when you did when you were younger, or you've done it recently, and that just brings you this happy joy, you know, feeling, and you don't know why, but you enjoy it so much. Do that more. Make sure you are intentional about scheduling that into your life, because where you have joy, you will start to have a balance of peace. It will outweigh the negative. Where the light is, it will outshine the dark every time.
And that's beautiful, a beautiful note to end on. Thank you so much. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a thoughtful and insightful conversation exploring clarity, awareness, and how we navigate growth while staying connected to ourselves. And thank you to everyone listening to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. If today's conversation resonated with you, please do share it with someone who may benefit. We're closing today's episode with The Climb by Miley Cyrus, a reminder that growth is rarely about reaching a final destination, but about continuing to move forward with courage, clarity, and that intention. Until next time, take care of yourself and each other.
I can almost see it, that dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my head saying, you'll never reach it. Every step I'm taking, every move I make feels lost with no direction. My faith is shaken, but I gotta keep trying. Gotta keep my head held high. There's always gonna be another mountain. I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes I'm gonna have to lose. It ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. The struggles I'm facing, the chances I'm taking.